Welcome to Red Meat, the conservative news update you need from Odyssey stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in. A fissure seemed to open this week between President Donald Trump and his GOP when he refused to sign a bipartisan housing bill they'd send to him before the SAVE Act wins approval. What's in that act, and why is it so important to the president? Here's Mark Cox.
Well, I told you earlier that election integrity is a big deal to me. It's why I've made an early endorsement in the race out in St. Charles County for director of elections. You need people who want transparency, who want to make sure that the only people voting are the people that are supposed to be voting. Right now, we're lucky enough to have Ali Turillo with us, RNC Director of Election Integrity. This obviously is an issue important to a lot of us.
You know what? President Trump has made a big push to pass the Save America Act because we know that secure elections are the backbone of our nation. And so obviously the House has passed this and the Senate is trying to get this over the finish line. But what we really need to be talking about is why do Democrats continue to vote against voter ID and other common sense election integrity measures that more than 80% of Americans support? That is the problem right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I loved what Byron Donald said about that earlier as well. Listen to
just
this.
The other day, President Obama opened up his presidential library in Chicago. You needed an ID to attend the event. So if you're going to show up for President Obama's library, you got to present a voter ID, a photo ID to gain access to that event. But to vote in our elections, you don't have to do that. That makes no sense.
I would agree with him. How about you?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And listen, this is the typical Democrat Party rules for thee, not for me. We know they require ID when it benefits them. John Ossoff, requiring photo ID to attend all of his campaign events. We know socialist leader and czar Mondani requiring three forms of ID to simply volunteer to shovel snow back in the winter months. So it is absolutely ridiculous. And I have so many examples of this. But what we know is America is behind. America is the best country on earth, but sadly, our elections are behind what dozens of other countries do. Many other nations around the world, they require a photo ID, they require proof of citizenship, and there is no excuse that as the best nation on earth, our elections also aren't the best and most secure on earth.
You know, usually the argument we hear is what you've been talking about, is that's ridiculous and it's racist to expect everyone to go get a photo ID, that people don't have the ability to do that. But it was interesting hearing Congresswoman Scanlon say that if you're requiring voter ID, she was like, you know, you had this real ID and you had to do all these things to go get that, all this documentation you had to provide. Well, guess what? You'd have to go through that all again, because then you'd have to have something on your ID that would show that you're a U.S. citizen. So it's funny because now their approach is to try to say you'd have to do a lot more work. Even if you have a photo ID, this is going to be a lot of work for you.
No, that's simply not true at all. And this is how Democrats fearmonger and gaslight people into thinking their way or the highway. And what we saw in 2024 was a shellacking of their views with the red wave. And I think we'll continue to see that through the midterms, because people can see that the Democrats, they have no policy to run on. The only thing that is unifying the party that is so fractured, as we saw with elections in New York in the primaries, is hating Donald Trump. Donald Trump has cleaned up Washington, D.C. What are people doing? Trying to vandalize it because they hate that he's succeeding. What do Republicans want to do? Secure elections. And what do Democrats hate about it? They hate about that our elections are no longer, hopefully, going to be open to non-citizens, dead people on the voter rolls. That's why the RNC has 150 active election integrity cases right now in more than 30 states. We have a mail-in ballot security lawsuit right now before the Supreme Court. I mean, all of this is common sense. It's the law. And the only way that Democrats can maintain their power is by illegally trying to concoct votes in their favor, because Americans can see right through them.
Nice.
Speaking of a fractured Democratic Party, many are still reeling from the sweeping Democratic Socialist win in New York this week. Here's Bob Rose.
We want to connect with Congresswoman Kat Kamik. Good morning, and how are you?
Good morning, fellas. I am doing pretty good. Glad to hear your voices.
Well, and it's great to hear from you, although, gosh, what a I've said it on the air all this morning that socialism is spreading like the plague. What's your take on some of these outcomes?
Well, I tell you what, the Democrat Party is not the Democrat Party of your mother and father anymore. They are full-blown socialists, and some of them even call themselves avowed communists. It's kind of crazy. I mean, obviously what we saw last night in New York was basically a clean sweep. Mondami got effectively a hat trick, backing three members of the Democratic Socialist Party, and they will be members of Congress that will serve up here in our nation's capital, which is, it cuts both ways, because what we're seeing on the left, that is not an internal housekeeping dispute. That is a full-blown political movement to overtake the Democrat Party. So if you are watching from afar, you're saying, whoa, these people are nuts, and they do not reflect America as we know it. And so in some ways, you're saying, okay, America's really going to see what you guys are all about, and it's terrifying. It's very scary. And for the Democrat Party, I mean, They felt very confident about midterms this fall. I would say that confidence is going to wane pretty significantly, because everyday folks don't want what they're selling. And I'm a little concerned that this is going to be a national recruitment tool. We already see that in Florida, where you've got some really radical candidates running on these platforms, which means we have to be all the more vigilant.
One of the examples I always use, because it's close to home and it's closer to our age, and that is when Castro took over, you know, Cuba via revolution. They the people had no idea what they were buying into. They had no idea they'd be waiting in line for milk. They had no idea that they would be, you know, separated from the rest of the world and forced to stay on that island by the point of a gun. Why is it so difficult for people to understand how socialism has been tried many times throughout the world, and it never has really worked out?
A couple things on that. I think, one, we live in the angertainment era, which is nothing more than clickbait, you know, clicks, shares, headlines. People aren't interested in actually sitting down and learning the facts. They have been told through a series of really liberal progressives that you are entitled to your own facts. And we all know that that's not true. But if you go back in history, I mean, I was thinking about this last night as results were coming in. You go back to the 1930s, and there was a very similar situation happening where you had the Vienna model is what they called it. The Vienna model was where the government effectively took on the whole issue of housing. They called it social housing. In fact, Mondami himself has said, we're going to adopt the Vienna model, where the government, the local government, builds all of these houses and they decimate private property rights. We know what happened in 1930 Austria. It is an unsustainable model that breeds this authoritarian type government, not prosperity. And so people who don't know their history, who want to have some revisionist history as part of their foundational principles, they don't understand that the socialist movement that erodes individualism and capitalism and really puts government in the driver's seat of everything in your life, from your housing, your utilities, how you operate your business, forced unionization, all of these things end in despair. It has never worked on any country in the world. Britain tried this in the 80s. They went super crazy hard left, and there was a quote, gosh, I'm forgetting it now. It was basically something along the lines of, it was so devastating that it was the longest suicide note that they had ever experienced, because it resulted in basically economic collapse. There were labor strikes. There was economic stagnation. There was all these things happening. Nobody wants to go back to that, but how quickly we forget that this is a model that sounds good on paper is devastating in practice.
Well,
that's what's so crazy.
Yeah, I mean, look, I can understand, you know, Germany, you know, in the 30s, economically, they had been devastated and suffered and punished so much, Treaty of Versailles and all that, that they were economically just, they were ripped to shreds. And so I understand economically, if you're completely oppressed and depressed economically, people do have a sense of desperation. So sometimes they will, you know, vote in things that maybe they ordinarily wouldn't. But we haven't had a calamitous, really, situation here. As far as, you know, living in poverty in America, you still live, have a quality of life that exceeds about 70% of the rest of the world's population. So, if this is a desperate populace, it's hard for me to believe that so many people, you know, you're always going to have your niche groups, your lunatics, whatever. But for so many people to actually elect these folks above what they would call normally solid Democrats and choosing the one that actually is not afraid and is touting the socialist label.
Yeah, I mean, the we have to be very clear about who was defeated in last night's Democratic primaries. These weren't like moderates, right? Dan Goldman, who was on the weaponization committee with me, he was the bane of our existence, consistently going off in la-la land and perpetuating craziness. Not a moderate by any stretch of the word. He was a dyed-in-the-wool progressive. He lost overwhelmingly because he was not crazy enough. I mean, that one of the people that they elected took out the head of the Democratic Hispanic Caucus, which, again, also ultra-progressive, very, very progressive. But the crazy person who is replacing him is a full-blown defund police psycho. I'm going to read you a quote because it got sent to me this morning, and I'm like, this is just nuts. This is one of her posts. She says, period, no more police at all, ever, period. It is very harmful to the work of black abolitionists who have been doing work for decades, and we cannot dilute this movement. If you are not fully on board yet, it's fine. Just say that. F you, we're going to defund and abolish. You so-called moderates don't get to water down our movement. If people thought AOC was nuts, wait till they meet this crew that's coming in.
Yeah, you've got that Chevalier. She said, I don't care if you've been convicted of murder and you're an illegal immigrant, you should not be deported. And people voted for her and she won.
Yes, and this is going to have an impact in Florida because you have people who are going to see the purge effectively happening in places like New York, and they're going to say, I don't want this craziness. Many of them Democrats, they will flee to places like Florida, and in many cases, they're going to bring their politics with it and be like, well, we're progressive, but we're not that progressive. So we need to be very, very mindful of how what is happening in New York is going to impact us in Florida.
And just real quick, looking forward, could there be such a backlash effect at some point across America that the Republicans could benefit during the midterms? How do you see it?
Listen, I will say I think that we have not taken full advantage of the majority that the American people gave us. I have been very critical of that and would love to see us doing 10 times more of the agenda that we know we are capable of. We've raised more money than them. We have had redistricting work out in our favor. And at the end of the day, this is very much an election coming up about the difference between just common sense and crazy. If we don't win in November, it's our damn fault.
Wouldn't it be great if, you know, these 80-20 issues, as we call them, would actually result in some votes along the same lines of 80-20? Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be stellar, and that is why the fight up here continues, Bob. I'm going to keep at it and keep pushing for some common sense.
Tara Servatius joins to discuss Iran, Trump's strategy, and offer an interesting take on whether the president can pull off the ultimate escape.
Folks, Iran is an incredibly volatile situation. It could go south very, very quickly in a devastating way. At the same time, if Trump manages to work his way out of this one with Iran, it's going to be epic, unprecedented. And you wouldn't be able to appreciate it because I'd gaslight you like other hosts do who are afraid to say anything negative about Trump because they think it'll hurt their ratings. I've never played it that way. And it's often, I think, cost me rating points in the short term. If you can't see the truth of what he's up against, There's a lot of you wanted me to gaslight you when all of those court cases were going on too against Trump, and I didn't. I told you the truth, which made it even more epic at the end when he beat them all. This is a story, folks. You ever seen a good story? You ever seen a really good storyline? You look at just about every one of these series now that people binge, especially the crime ones. How does it go? The main character ends up in a place where it looks impossible. He's either going to be killed by the bad guy or end up in prison for the rest of his life. He's never getting out of this. If you don't tell that part of the story, you can't appreciate what happens next, because everything is built on a foundation of lies and gaslighting and manipulation to get good ratings. I don't do that. You want the whole story, even if some days it's not very good and other days you want to wring somebody's neck. I'll tell you all of it. You don't want all of it? You want somebody to lie to you? You know what? You're going to miss the end. You're going to miss the triumph. Maybe it won't end well. Maybe it'll end badly. I don't know. Do you want to know the story? This is some of the most... I mean, I've been doing this again 20 years. This is so fascinating right now. It looks devastating. We've just put the world's foremost sponsor of terror in charge of the Strait. Let me tell you what, J.D. Vance lied to you. Machine gun rapid fire last week about what was in that MOU. That's why they hid it. That's why they're hiding what they're negotiating for the end of the 60 days now, because it's going to be even worse. Because we're, quite frankly, out of munitions. At least we're putting ourselves in a dangerous place. How does Trump get out of this? I don't know. I don't. But if he does, it's going to be epic. Do you want to miss that? Texter writes, is your middle name middle initial D? You have an awful attitude. I have an awful attitude. I love what I do. What's an awful attitude to some of you? It's a very small minority. What's an awful attitude? Well, you said true things about Trump doing, it's not going right, and you told me true things, and I didn't like them. I'm going to go somewhere else, and they will lie to me. Okay, well, you're going to miss the story. You're going to miss how epic it is at the end. Because more times than not, Donald Trump is like a cat. Somebody throws off the sixth door. You're like, wow, that cat's done, man. That thing ain't going to land. And you're like, holy cow, it survived. It limped off all right, but wow. You're going to miss the story, and I won't let you. Not here. So chill out for a minute. Let me tell you the rest of the story, because it's not all bad. We're watching Chiran take control of key choke points through violence, Red Sea and Strait of Hormuz, and that is not good for trade. But look at what else is happening simultaneously, and this is going to change everything, okay? Everybody is piling into U.S. stocks. Foreign investment at a level we have never seen, and it's not even close. Why? Because the rest of the world is in chaos. Folks, if Chiran is out there using the Houthis in the Red Sea to dictate what trade even comes into Europe at the point of a gun, and the Europeans are like, we will not even send a single naval ship. And then they try, and it breaks down in Crete. They don't show up. Well, what is the consequence for that? Trump's making them pay it. Look at it right here. Everyone's piling into U.S. stocks. Listen to this. This is incredible. Foreign holdings of U.S. equities jumped $2 trillion in April to an all-time record of $23.2 trillion. Folks, that figure has doubled since 2022. Why? Biden was in office. Nobody's going to pile in here in our stocks. We talked about this. You can't pile into America's stocks when Democrats are burning down cities and might because their leader's in charge. How are you going to invest in a franchise? Because parts of it are in blue areas. You can't. I've been saying this for years. They're looking at Trump going, okay, we've seen him stabilize DC. We've seen him. Yeah, okay. He's not going to let these post-American territories get too far. Okay, I can invest in an American franchise that's in red and blue states. That's what's going on. So folks, I mean, these numbers are unbelievable. Under Joe Biden, non-U.S. investors, so foreigners, held $7.5 trillion of U.S. equities. 68% less. Wait, stop the music. I'm not done. So I got to get this in here. I got to put it all together, okay? This is a story. There's terror and there's shock and there's screw-ups and there's awe. It's like the most bingeable series ever. Investment in the U.S. Foreign investment surged to a record of $884 billion in 12 months ending April 2026. What does that mean? Foreign investment tripled since the start of 2025. What happened at the start of 2025? January 2025. Specifically, January 20th, 2025. Trump was sworn in. Now let's read that sentence again. Net capital inflow, foreign investment tripled since the start of 2025, is now 68% higher than the last peak. When was that? 2022 under Joe Biden. It's going fast. By comparison, the 2021 peak was $400 billion, less than half of current levels. He said foreign investment was going to flow in here. It was going to boom. He has doubled it. Why? Chaos. Chiran. Were you going to invest in Europe where China dictates what comes in at the point of the gun? They take the side of Iran, and they don't even have air conditioning. Heck no, you're not going to. So fuck, it's very volatile. We could lose control of this. I mean, any moment Iran could take one of those missiles, those 2,000 we've let them have, and blow up the Saudi oil fields, plunge the world into a depression. And if that happens, I don't want you coming to me saying, you didn't tell me, Tara, you made it sound good. You gaslit me. Nah, I paint the world as it is. So you can appreciate the triumphs built on the back of some really risky situations we maybe need to clear. It's a great story, folks. Stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to Red Meat, a collection of conservative audio from Odyssey's talk stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in. Listen wherever you get podcasts and smash that subscribe button.